This is a download from the BBC. For more information and our terms of use, go to bbc.co.uk/radio3.
When you open a ream of paper to refill your computer printer, you unwittingly traverse much of the history of the written word over the past two millennia. The material in the packet was invented in China more than 2,000 years ago, but the word paper, like its equivalents in French, German, and Spanish, comes from the Latin and Greek words for an Egyptian reed, papyrus, that was sliced up and joined to make scrolls on which the ancients copied their books. Italians, however, call paper carta, which comes from cartes, the Greek word for the writing material itself, from which many other of our paper-related words, such as card, cardboard, and cartography, derive. Other ancient peoples, notably the Hebrews, wrote on the prepared skins of animals, such as sheep, goats, and calves. And in the Middle Ages, this material, which we know as parchment, replaced papyrus as the preferred medium for copying books. This happened just as the type of book written on rolls gave way to the form of the book with separate pages bound together on one side, which we call a codex, from the Latin word for a block of wood. The word ream, which now means a package of 500 sheets of paper, takes us in a very different direction, for it ultimately derives from rizma, the Arabic word for bundle, and is one of the very few vestiges of the enormous debt we owe medieval Islamic civilization for bringing paper and papermaking from China to the West. Paper is a mat of cellulose fibers, today often from trees, that have been beaten in water, collected on a screen, and dried. The Chinese, who invented paper, lived in a warm, semi-tropical region and made it out of the inner bark of various shrubs and plants, which they collected and beat in water. Relatively soon after its invention, merchants and Buddhist missionaries transmitted paper and knowledge of papermaking to neighboring lands, such as Japan, Korea, and Central Asia, where people learned to make it out of whatever materials were locally available. In the arid lands of Central Asia, for example, papermakers couldn't grow the same plants as in China, so they got their cellulose fibers from old rags and ropes, as well as from such plants as cotton and flax that grew locally. When Muslims, who had previously known only papyrus and parchment, came from the Near East to Central Asia in the late 7th and 8th centuries, they encountered paper for the first time and realized that it would be a useful material. Within 200 years, Islamic civilization carried knowledge of papermaking and paper over 5,000 miles from Central Asia to Iran, Iraq, Syria, Egypt, Morocco, and finally Sicily and Spain. For centuries, Europeans debated the origins of paper, thinking that it derived from papyrus and had been invented by the ancient Egyptians. But medieval Muslims always knew that paper came from China. As early as the 11th century, the Arab historian Al-Thalabi, enumerating the specialties of different lands in his Book of Curious and Entertaining Information, wrote that paper is among the specialties of Samarkand, and it looks better and is more supple, more easily handled, and more convenient for writing than papyrus and parchment. According to Al-Thalabi, Chinese prisoners captured by the Arabs at the Battle of Talas in 751 introduced papermaking to Samarkand. He stated, "Then paper was manufactured on a wide scale and passed into general use until it became an important export commodity for the people of Samarkand. Its value was universally recognized and people everywhere used it." Although the hoary story of the captured papermakers has been repeated again and again, the specifics of Tha'alabi's account should be treated with caution. Specimens of very old paper have been discovered at various sites in Central Asia, showing that paper was used and made throughout the region long before the Muslims arrived or the battle took place. For example, in the year 1900, a Chinese Buddhist monk accidentally discovered more than 30,000 paper scrolls in a cave at Dunhuan, a desert oasis on the Silk Road in China's Gansu province. As the cave was first used in 366 and was sealed in the 10th century, the papers, comprising Buddhist, Taoist, and Confucian texts, government documents, business contracts, calendars, and miscellaneous exercises written in a great variety of languages, must date from this period. In 1907, the British explorer, Sir Orrell Stein, went west of Dunhuang to a ruined watchtower, where he discovered five letters and more fragments dating between the 4th and the 6th centuries. The letters were written in the Sogdian language, and one of them was enclosed in a cloth envelope addressed to Samarkand, which lay about 2,000 miles farther west. The letters, apparently the contents of a lost or abandoned mailbag, show that paper had been used for centuries by Silk Road merchants throughout the oasis cities of Central Asia, long before the coming of Islam. In 1933, Soviet archaeologists found several paper documents at Mount Mug, the mountain stronghold in Tajikistan, where a local ruler had attempted to escape from the Arab invaders in 722, some three decades before the Battle of Talas. According to the medieval historian and philosopher Ibn Khaldun, the vizier Al-Fadl ibn Yahya introduced the manufacture of paper to Baghdad in the early 9th century, when parchment was in short supply and he needed more writing materials to administer the vast Abbasid Empire. Whether or not this important official was personally responsible, his family came from Balkh, now in northern Afghanistan, a region where paper would have been made and used for centuries. Thus, Ibn Khaldun wrote, paper came to be used for government documents and diplomas. Afterward, people used paper and sheets for government and scholarly writings, and the manufacture of paper reached a considerable degree of excellence. Ibn Khaldun did not mention one of the greatest advantages of paper for bureaucrats. Since it absorbed ink, writing could not be easily erased from it, as it could from papyrus and parchment. Documents written on paper were therefore more secure from forgery. The new availability of paper in the 9th century spurred an extraordinary burst of literary creativity in virtually all subjects, from theology to the natural sciences and literature. Religious scholars collected and codified the oral traditions of the prophet and committed them to ink and paper. New types of writing, such as cookbooks and popular tales, were copied on paper for sale to interested readers. In the early 9th century, the Abbasid Caliph al-Ma'mun enlarged the royal library, which came to be known as the Bayt al-Hikmah, or House of Knowledge. Scholars and copyists translated Greek texts written on parchment and papyrus into Arabic, transcribing them onto sheets of paper, which were then bound into books. Papermaking and stationery were soon significant businesses in Baghdad. The 9th century teacher, writer, and paper dealer, Ahmed ibn Abi Tahir, had a shop in the stationer's market, a street that was lined with more than 100 paper and bookseller shops. Stationers in Abbasid Baghdad must have functioned somewhat like private research libraries, for the polymath, al-Jahith, is said to have rented stationer shops by the day in order to read the books they kept in stock. Another famous stationer was the 10th century writer Ibn Abi Yaqub an-Nadim, known as Awaraq, the stationer. He used his extensive professional knowledge to compile the Fihrist, an encyclopedia that remains a mine of information about medieval books and writing. The new availability of paper also encouraged new approaches to old subjects. At the same time that paper was being disseminated across the Islamic lands, the Hindu system of reckoning with decimal place value numerals, what we call Arabic numerals, was spreading westward from India. Before the Hindu system was introduced, people in the Islamic lands, as elsewhere, did their calculations mentally and recorded intermediate results either on a dustboard, which could be repeatedly erased as they performed successive additions or subtractions, or by the position of their fingers in a system we call finger reckoning. The first manual of Hindu reckoning in Arabic was written around 825 by Muhammad ibn Musa al-Khwarizmi, whose name has given us our word algorithm, meaning the sequence of steps followed to solve a type of problem. According to al-Khwarizmi's treatise, the process begins on the left, and the fundamental arithmetic operations are performed by placing the numbers one above the other. Numbers are erased and shifted, clearly implying that the operations were still meant to be performed on a dustboard. A century later, however, the mathematician Abul Hasan Ahmed ibn Ibrahim al-Uqlidisi, meaning the Euclidean, altered the Indian scheme of calculation in his mathematical treatise, composed at Damascus in 952, to suit the use of ink and paper. Although al-Uqlidisi's scheme allowed neither shifting nor erasure of numbers, not possible on paper, it did permit far greater flexibility in calculation. The oldest surviving manuscript written on Arab paper is a manuscript in the Vatican Library of miscellaneous teachings of Christian church fathers, written in Greek. The manuscript, probably copied at Damascus around 800, shows that it wasn't only Muslim bureaucrats and authors in Baghdad who used paper. Paper was used also by Christians living under Muslim rule in Syria, a community instrumental in the great translation projects of the time. In Egypt, the Jewish community of Cairo used paper for their books, bills, records, and deeds, many of which were preserved for centuries in a synagogue storeroom known as the Geniza. Another early paper fragment shows that paper encouraged the copying and transmission of new types of literature. Discovered in Egypt and now in the collection of the Oriental Institute in Chicago, it contains the title and the beginning of the text of the earliest known copy of The Thousand and One Nights. The manuscript had become waste paper by late 879, when a certain Egyptian named Ahmed ibn Mahfuz practiced writing out legal formulas in the margins of the pages. The oldest surviving dated book copied in Arabic script on paper is Abu Ubaid al-Qasim ibn Salam's work on unusual terms in the traditions of the Prophet. Preserved in Leiden University Library in the Netherlands and dated to November or December of 866, the manuscript confirms that paper was used from the 9th century in the Islamic lands for not only Islamic, but also for Christian and Jewish theological and secular writings. By the late 10th century, paper had entirely supplanted papyrus, even in Egypt, where it had been used uninterruptedly for 4,000 years. Surviving documents and Arabic sources indicate that papyrus was still made in Egypt during the early Islamic period, but from the early 9th century, paper became increasingly important. In 956, the historian al-Mas'udi indicated that papyrus manufacture was not completely defunct in Egypt, but the geographer Ibn Halkal, who visited Egypt some 40 years later, made no reference to its use as a writing material. And by 985, according to the Palestinian geographer al-Muqaddisi, paper had become one of Egypt's major products. The Persian traveler Nasiri Khosrow, who visited Cairo in the 1030s and 40s, mentions that in the bazaars of old Cairo, the greengrocers, grocers, and merchants provided paper to wrap the glassware, ceramics, and bundles of paper they sold. This suggests that paper had become relatively cheap, although it wasn't so cheap that it was discarded. Used paper was saved so that the fiber could be recycled into new paper. Europeans first began to use paper around the year 1000, and after Muslims had established the first paper mills in Spain, Europeans began to manufacture it there and in Italy. In the late 14th century, the German Ullmann Stromer, who had seen paper mills in Italy, built the first one north of the Alps at Nuremberg. Without paper mills like Stromer's, the Cultural Revolution begun by Johann Gutenberg's printing press in 15th century Mainz could not have taken place, for even the earliest printing presses had to be fed with reams and reams of paper, although few people realize where those reams had come from. Our demand for paper has never been satisfied since, and as we constantly develop new uses for this versatile material and new sources for the fiber from which it is made, let us remember the central role of the Golden Age of Islamic civilization in bringing reams of paper from China to the West.